You've come to the right place. If you're looking to create, launch, and scale a high-value online training program, I'm your guide, Chris Badgett. I'm the co-founder of Lifter LMS, the most powerful learning management system for WordPress. Stay to the end. I've got something special for you. Enjoy the show. Hello and welcome back to another episode of LMS Cast. I'm rejoined by a special guest. Her name is Sally Crew. She's from nurture-.com. This is going to be a really exciting episode. We're going to talk about basically taking all the power of WordPress and removing all the hassle and providing a solution for heart-centered entrepreneurs and particularly practitioners, which is what Sally's been working on and working in that industry for a long time. But first, welcome to the show, Sally.
Thank you. It's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's fun to have you back. And I love seeing, one of our company values is continuous improvement. And you embody that, like you're just iterating and iterating and iterating. For those of you unfamiliar with the term WAS, that stands for Website as a Service. So that's where you basically provide a full website solution. Sally's even gone further than just the website with marketing and all kinds of stuff. So we're going to dive into it today. But at a high level, can you describe for us what Nurture-Dash is? And you out there listening, go check out nurture-.com. But Sally, what's Nurture-Dash?
So Nurture-Dash is an all-in-one business in a box based around a WordPress website. So I'm a designer at heart. I started with graphic design. That turned into web design. That turned into how the heck do I get this thing online, which turned into learning about web hosting, which turned into running a hosting company. And we're talking like back in the late 90s. So I've been at this a while. That turned into I was a nutrition therapy practitioner for a while, and I saw that a lot of my colleagues were interested in creating online courses for their clients. So I helped them. I taught them how to do that. I had a training course that taught them how to do that. When we got to the module about setting up the tech and the website, which was actually the best part for me, that was the most exciting part for me, a lot of them just like froze. So it became apparent to me that that was what they needed help with. So I developed that into a bonus for my course called the Practitioner Platform, which was an all-in-one website. And I basically cloned my course website, which was Running Lifter, and gave that to my my colleagues, my students, for them to sort of fill in the blanks and put their own nutrition courses, et cetera, into it. And fast forward to today, like that platform, which was what we talked about on the previous time I was on a few years ago, what happened there was I found that, okay, everybody loved what they had. They had a website. They had the ability to sell courses. They had the ability to book calls. But because it was all built on WordPress, and back then things weren't quite as evolved and cohesive as they are now with the WordPress ecosystem, I was finding I was basically spending a lot of time playing whack-a-mole with plugins. And as an earlier entrepreneur, I was still struck with the syndrome of trying to please everybody. And when you have WordPress as your main tool, you can please everybody. Someone would come and say, "Hey, I have a podcast. Can we make this a podcast streaming site instead of course?" And I'd be like, "Well, the true answer is yes, we can, because we always can if we're using WordPress." And I loved that part of it, you know, as sort of a pseudo developer at heart. So I got a little bit off tangent with that. And we ended up building a bit of a sort of a Homer car. I don't know if you remember that Simpsons episode, where it had a little bit of everybody's input, and got further and further away from being a platform, which is supposed to be everybody has the same thing. So we've briefly partnered up with Go High Level to provide so that we could stick with a true WordPress website and then just sort of hook into Go High Level for the CRM and the email marketing and all the other tools that people were using. They were using different tools for those. So instead of me having to try and learn how to integrate, you know, ActiveCampaign, MailChimp, all these other things into WordPress, I now just had one place to send them and integrated with that. It worked for a little while, but we ended up then with two platforms. We had what we were calling NurtureDesk, which was a white-labeled high level, and then we had NurtureSites, which was the WordPress hosting platform. So I sort of gathered all the kittens together late last year and decided, having taken another look in the WordPress ecosystem and seeing how far things had come, I've always loved working on WordPress. I've never gone away from it myself, but for a while it didn't seem like the best choice for running like email marketing, funnel building, CRM suite, or even booking. But that changed with a lot of the newer plugins. And I tested out, you know, a lot of the Fluent Suite plugins like Fluent CRM, Fluent Booking, and found out, yeah, not only were these, you know, good enough to work, they were actually simpler and doing a better job at what my clients needed than the everything all singing, all dancing, and often all breaking bigger platform that we were trying to plug into. So yeah, late last year, I sort of rethought it, decided to put both of the parts of the Nurture brand, the Dash and the sites, back together. And it coincided with being reintroduced to the guys at WildCloud, who I know you've had Roger on here, but they do a fantastic multi-tenancy WordPress platform. So now we've basically finally created what I was trying to create 7 years ago, which is you go to a website, you click a button, you give them the domain name that you want for your website. 5 minutes later, in your email is a link to log straight into your website. And it's all set up. There's a CRM, there's a booking calendar, there's a bunch of different templates to choose. There's a really easy page builder. So that's the little winding story of NurtureDesk and how it came to be how it is now.
That's awesome. I love how customer centric you are, because you have like this practitioner that is trying to basically build the online interface for their business. And there's all these different things they need. And tell us a little more about like what their current reality is like without NurtureDesk. And let's say they're not working with you. Like, what are they doing to run their business and trying to get clients and nurture clients?
Their current reality until they cross paths with me is a lot of moving parts. They probably have a WordPress website that is either half built or out of date, or is precariously teetering with unupdated plugins that they're scared to push the update button on. They probably don't know where their website is hosted. They probably don't know the difference between a domain and a website. And this is also with a lot of love for these people. It's just that's not their world. And they've come into this world as a necessity at various points in their business journey. And so they've got, you know, a domain name over here on this platform. They've got a membership site over here on this platform. And they've tried to hook them up together. They've joined a training program by a marketer who's recommended another platform. A lot of them are paying multiple subscriptions for multiple tools that overlap and do a lot of the same stuff, but are not talking to each other. So they come to me, and my joke is like, a lot of people, when they come to me and I have what I call tech audits for my discovery calls. And I come in, and I'm like, basically just open up your bag, put everything out on the table, let's see what we've got. And a lot of the time it kind of looks like a raccoon just got into your fridge. Like it's just like all kinds of, you know, dead ends and funnels that don't work and affiliate links. And it's just, and I this is my world. I love this stuff, but it makes me overwhelmed. So I can totally understand how a lot of practitioners and coaches will say, I hate tech. I'm not good with tech. So my job that I've given myself, and I have a website called thewebsitesherpa.com, which is where I do my blog and my free training. And that name came about from somebody calling me that. It's my I feel like my job here is to sort of, you know, guide them through the dusty trail of like tech, WordPress. Where does WordPress end? Where does your website end? Where do these other platforms begin? What are you actually paying these subscriptions for? Like, there's a lot of, you know, unraveling to be done. And to be fair, we've, a lot of us in this world have been, have grown up with tech. So we've got older versions of features that we're kind of locked into because we've got a lot of content on there. And then we've got newer versions. And if somebody's coming in today, straight out of the gate and starting an online business, they're not going to probably have this problem because there's so many all-in-one tools now that keep things more organized. But a lot of people have sort of come at this over the years and have gathered sort of a, you know, a bit of a mixed bag of tools with various incompatibilities. So I'm basically in the service. And we talked about last time we talked, you mentioned the phrase friction removal business.
Yeah.
That's still very much true. And I think of myself as sort of a tech therapist as well, because there's a huge mindset component to this, especially with a lot of my clients and customers are, first of all, they're first and foremost health coaches, practitioners. They don't even want to be in an online business, but it's 2024, they have to be online. And second of all, they have a bit of like tech trauma and WordPress trauma. And I'll see them if I'm on calls with them and they're sharing the screen and I'm sort of telling them where to click, they will get what I call button blindness. I'll be like, click the button, and they'll be like,
which one?
Yeah. Or they won't see. Maybe there's just one they won't see. And I've done a little bit of trauma work, and it's a fight or flight state that people get into, an anxiety state, and they can't see where to click because their body's in a sort of panic. It sounds a little funny, but I bet if you sort of put probes on someone and measured their heart rate and stuff while they were trying to look around the back end of the WordPress site that hadn't been updated in 2 years, it would probably be, you know, not a healthy state for them to be in. So I've kind of, like I've said, I've sort of started saying it's like tech therapy. I'm trying to sort of be like, first of all, let them know that I'm here to help them, that they're not stupid for getting themselves in this situation. Much like an accountant for somebody who's, you know, behind on their taxes or bookkeeping, the first thing you need to do is to say, no shame, you're here now, let me help you. And so that's kind of where I come at things. And I have a lot of calls with people who will get into that state where you can see they're kind of clouding over with the tech talk. And they will say, I've no idea what you do, but I want to work with you. Like, I feel safe. I feel like you're going to be the person who's going to sort of save me from this big tech dragon.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
I love that. I mean, it's not just providing a solution, it's being a guide and even a therapist, like you say.
Yeah.
And I love the Sherpa analogy. As a guy myself, I've actually spent some time in Nepal and hung out with some Sherpas. And part of that whole thing is a connection to the earth and like navigating the landscape. And you have a neat kind of environmental component to your platform. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, I'm from the UK. I'm from Sherwood Forest. I do some volunteer work for the Pagan Federation. So I identify as a druid. I'm a lover of animals. I'm a lover of nature. I'm an animist, which means I feel like everything has energy. I've always felt that way since I was just a small child. That's just how I perceive the world, as someone who feels energy. So I kind of had sort of stuffed that side of me down. Until, you know, I'm in my late 40s now, and you sort of start to find yourself again. And that kind of came back around, and I realized how important it was to me, and with the, you know, with the climate crisis and everything. So we partnered with One Tree Planted, and there's another similar company that do this internationally. And basically, we just, you know, for every subscription payment that comes in, a certain portion of that goes towards planting trees. So when somebody signs up for, if they sign up for a year with the platform, we will send them a certificate to say, hey, congratulations, you have planted 12 trees.
Nice.
And people love it. And it's not, you know, I'm not literally out there with a shovel and a bag of acorns. You know, we're just partnering with this company, this initiative that does it. But people really, really I've got a lot of feedback from people being like, oh, that's like, it makes me feel so good. And it, and because, you know, we're all internet friends, we don't often actually meet people in real life. So to know that this business decision that they made, the dollars that they could have spent on, you know, Kajabi or Teachable or Thinkific or just another, or just a WordPress site on their own, they choose to use it with us. It doesn't cost them any extra, but they're helping. They're helping offset carbon emissions and everything.
That's great. I love it when kind of values are baked into a brand and, you know, backed up with action and that sort
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, you know, and also through the sort of the political climate that we've just been through and are still in, it personally to me felt like my way of saying, hey, this is what I stand for. And you know, for some people they're like, oh, you're not the right platform for me, and that's fine. But a lot of them have come over to me rather than give their money to like the big tech bros, because they want to support a female, you know, independently owned business who supports the climate and who donates to trees. So, you know, I think it's more than ever people can vote with their wallets and with their business tool choices. So
100%. And people are hungry to do business with people, like real people behind the screens and all that.
Yeah. I mean, we have a blurb on our site that's about basically we support, you know, LGBTQ plus rights. We support a woman's right to choose. We support this, this, and this. And I know it's for some people, it's be like, nope, I'm getting out of here. That's fine. I wouldn't want to work with that person anyway. So I'm a musician. So my former life was as a musician, and I still do that for fun. And it feels like the most punk rock thing I've ever done. That's awesome. Actually put that on my webpage of like, here's what we believe. If you don't, okay, fine, but we're not the choice for you.
Well, there's that saying in marketing that great marketing should be polarizing and attract the your vibe attracts your tribe.
I'm a peacekeeper. I've always thought of a people pleaser and wanted everybody to get along. But this was something I felt strongly enough about to actually be like, yeah, this isn't just a marketing shtick. This isn't just to trying to put my brand somewhere. This is actually, you get to work with me as a person. Things are going to go a lot smoother if we are aligned on the sort of fundamentals of, you know, moral standings on things. So
that's great. Yeah. Well, you're also a tech wizard. So I wanted to dig in a little bit on the tech stack here. And you've mentioned a couple things. So let me just cue it up. Use WildCloud, which is like hosting multi-tenancy. It handles the payment element of people signing up and getting started with the site. A WordPress site, it has a front end on it so that people aren't just dropped into the WordPress admin with a million options. And you're using certain tools to deliver solutions to different business challenges like Fluent CRM for the email marketing, the broadcast emails, the marketing automation. You've got Fluent Bookings, which is very important for a service-based business to have automated bookings. I mean, I don't know how many times I deal with the service industry and I have to end up in this email chain to like get something on the calendar. I just want a link to book. So that's awesome. And then you've got Lifter LMS for if they want to do the education piece, which I want to dig in on specifically in a little bit of how they use it. But could you tell us any more just nuance or detail of what's in the tech stack that brings this website kind of online platform as a solution to
So the big difference with this, I'm talking at first more to the other sort of WAS type of providers or other web developers, but we're using WildCloud, as you said, which is a multi-tenancy deployment platform, which essentially allows you to have your own like Squarespace or Wix or something.
Which is a huge idea. That's a huge idea right there.
And that's like hugest thing, and that's just like what the first ingredient in this recipe. We're using UiPress Pro, which is an admin theme plugin. And I was lucky enough to have gotten on their lifetime deal for unlimited sites. Nice. And I did that with a couple of the Fluent plugins as well. So I'm sort of cashing in on my, you know, lifetime earlier, my earlier futurism. We're doing that. And that's really enabled me to, when you log into this, it looks like, it doesn't look like WordPress. We don't even have a menu bar down the side. I took the decision after a bunch of research of users that having a menu across the top, I mean, your computer's this shape. Yeah. I know you can use things on your phone, but for the most part, my practitioner clients are on their laptop. It's postcard shaped. And I took the decision to, rather than have a menu down the side, to have it along the top. So it's always in view and you've got that much more real estate to play with. And one thing I'd noticed from my previous onboarding calls when we did have the menu down the side was that a lot of people didn't understand how to scroll. So I'm on a huge, a huge website person monitor, but if you're on a smaller laptop and you've got, 15 things down the side on the menu, and I'm saying, okay, go down to settings, and they're not actually understanding that there's stuff that's beyond the page. And this is, it's another thing that sounds a little silly, but for people who aren't in WordPress or in tech or in websites all day long, like we are, it isn't something that's completely intuitive. So I wanted to remove as many of those friction points that give, every time there's a bit of friction, it makes people stressed. It makes people feel like an idiot. It just makes people like sort of, clench up and not be as comfortable. And we talked last time about me trying to make my website templates like be kind of a spa-like experience, that when you go to the website, even if you don't understand the basics of design, you can, on a subconscious level, tell this is a nicer place to be than that place because it's organized and there's white space to breathe. I try to take that to the back end of WordPress as well. So when they log in, it's a nice place to be. It's like going to, a spa or back to your house when someone has been there and tidied it up and cleaned it all up and put new plants up. And, and there's a little button there that you can take a break and it takes you to an embedded video of the ocean for 5 minutes. And just things I've learned from my own journey of working too much, being a workaholic, working too late, not taking breaks because I was really enjoying what I was doing. So I've tried to pull all of that experience, not only as a creator of a website or somebody who knows how to help people sell courses and book discovery calls, but as somebody who's an online business owner, who's realized the perils of looking at a screen all day long. I use it for my own business. I think it's called
dog fooding.
Dog fooding. Yeah. I was like, did I make that up? Yeah, I do, because it's got all the tools that I need. And I don't see a better way for me as the creator of this thing to be really on top of what's needed and where the problems are and to know how to tell people how to do stuff than to actually be using it for my own business.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. We've learned so much just having our Lift Rail LMS Academy and a quick start course. I mean, we use our own tool.
I think really you're doing a massive disservice to people if you're not. And especially if it's sort of a curated collection of WordPress plugins. I've said to my folks, this is a curation of the best plugins for the job, as far as I'm aware. And I've been at this for 20 plus years. I'm a research hound. If something isn't right, if something isn't doing what we want it to do, or if something comes along that does that thing better or adds a new feature that we haven't even conceived of yet, I will go and find us a new plugin. And Notion, notice the word us, not you. Like, this is the platform. I've got kind of this mama bear thing going on. I'm going to look after them. They're sharing that we're all using the same tools. I'm keeping ahead of the curve. That's a whole other bunch of stuff that they don't have to have in their brain. What plugin should I use? What platform should I use? What this, do I need to be doing this on social media? Do I need to be doing that? I'm just basically saying, shush, shush, don't worry about that. I will trust me to, to be the guide for that part of the business. And part of that is not just showing them the tools that they should be using. It's part of it is saying, don't need to worry about that. You don't need to do that. You don't need this particular you know, bell or whistle that some other guru was telling you that you need. And because it's all on WordPress now, they can really sense the integrity behind that, because I am choosing other people. I'm piggybacking on your talents and your team's talents by using Lifter. And I'm telling them, I'm not saying this is Nurture-LMS. I'm saying this is Lifter. This is what is the best, as far as I'm concerned. I've tried them all. This is the best one for you guys. And here's how to use it. And, you know, I will support my clients, but they do know what these tools are. I'm not hiding that fact. I'm not pretending that I developed everything myself. So I would warn anybody doing this not to do that as well, because the ego gets in the way and the ego wants to take the credit. But the flip side of that is, if something breaks with that plugin, you're now the problem. Yeah.
Tell us more about how your users use Lifter LMS, like in their practitioner use case or in whatever they're doing. What brings them to need a LMS? How do they use it?
That's a good question. There's a few different levels of it. So you would typically think of it just as for people who want to sell courses as a starting point or memberships. What I actually do is I have recommended to people the idea of, so everyone's familiar with the idea of you have a landing page, you have an email, a magnet, a list building magnet. Nobody wants to think that someone will sign up to the list, get sent a PDF, and then that thing gets downloaded, never to be seen again, never to even be looked at or printed or anything. And also trees, we shouldn't be printing as much as we do. So what I've started telling people is a great idea is for everybody, even if you don't have a membership or a course yet, have a members section. When somebody joins their list, your list, it will send you into the membership section. Here will be your download. Here will also be a very exclusive feeling. You feel like if you're given the keys to somewhere, you feel like you must have, you know, either been a really special client or that you've paid money for that experience. And they haven't, they've just joined your list, but it just really elevates. And then people can come in and they can also see, maybe they'll see some other things that are, oh, I might go buy that. I might go download this other freebie. Maybe you'll have a community there. So I'm just trying to, everyone's trying to get people off Facebook. I think this is a really good way to do it. And also, you know, if you want to, rather than just emailing your list another link to another landing page, you can be like, hey, I've just loaded this into the membership portal, and have tiered memberships. So yeah, people are using it as basically a content vault for free, you know, for subscribers to feel like they are kind of part of your world. And then they're using it for traditional courses and memberships. And at the other side of things, I've got practitioners who have courses and memberships where they're at the level now that they have other people instructing using their material. So another thing we're working on this year is the ability for these people to have their own platforms. So they will have they will have a version of what Nurture-Dash is on WildCloud. They will have a website with the ability for other practitioners, other coaches to say, "Hey, I want to teach your material. I want to take people through your course. I don't want to reinvent the wheel. I don't want to rip you off, and I don't want to." You know, some people are really good at creating content and teaching, and they really don't enjoy supporting individual clients through that process. And then you've got a bunch of people on the other side who really enjoy the coaching and the one-on-one handholding, but they're not necessarily interested or very good at creating a course or material for that. So I'm trying to put these two sides of people together. What they both lack usually is the desire or inclination to figure out all the tech. So I'm sort of, it's not exactly a marketplace. It's more of like an individual, one practitioner has something. They have other practitioners who are interested in instructing in that particular modality, and just putting those guys together with this fantastic new tech that's available, and basically giving, you know, give your give your instructors a business in the box. Everyone wins. The instructor can hit the ground running with their own course platform, CRM, everything all ready to go. It can be preloaded with email sequences that sell the product. You know, there's any number of ways to spin it, but the ingredients are all the same. It's the same plugins. It's the same tech idea. It's just sort of moving it up.
I love that. Layer. It's kind of like a fractal. It just keeps going. And I totally get it, because the there's like an individual startup practitioner, but then they have team.
Yeah.
And then...
we're calling it a digital franchise.
There you go.
Because I do have clients that I've built, or I'm in the process of building custom websites for custom membership sites. And they are at the stage where they're like, okay, we've realized our demographic isn't actually health conscious parents. It's actually other practitioners or other nutritionists, and they want to be able to guide their clients through my material. How do we do it? And I'm like, here's how. And we could also give them a CRM and a booking link. And
very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. I also love that that idea for a lead magnet to just become a member. And now you just have one login.
Yeah.
And then if you want other resources become available, and it's more like building community.
Exactly. Yeah.
And delivering a download.
You can build community without even actually having like a traditional community chat area. You can have communities like, here's, everyone gets the email. They all get in there and see the new material. And it just really, when I've mentioned this to customers as a way of doing it, everyone lights up. Like, they love the idea of, because they can visualize that experience from their side. You know, we've all got a hard drive full of things we've downloaded that we haven't looked at or can't find. And this way you can keep the material updated. You can sort of leave little cookies for them. You can be like, okay, rather than just bug somebody who's on your list to go do something, you can say, hey, I left you a little treat. Go check out the members area, you know.
I love that. And if you're out there watching and you're kind of new to Lifter LMS, some people don't realize it, so I'll say it real quick here. LMSs are used for courses, but Lifter LMS also has a membership component. So
yeah,
which can control access to other parts of the website or even pieces of pages and things like that. So that's such a cool innovation you've done there, Sally. I love that one. Can you tell us a little more about, like, if someone's feeling inspired and they're watching this, and let's say they're in some niche and they want to really double down and build a platform for that niche. Mm-hmm. And I really, just let me side note and say, it takes entrepreneurs like you to do that, because the software providers, as an example, they're really focused on like their slice of the tech pie. So we need these platform entrepreneurs to assemble the tools, mama bear it, as you say, to like make sure it's the right thing and adjust over time and protect your community and really provide the perfect solution for those people with that stack. But my question is, once you have your kind of niche and the problem you want to solve for them with a platform or collection of problems, how do you get clients? Like, how do you get known in a niche like you've gotten known in the practitioner niche?
In my case, it's been sort of a very organic word of mouth thing. I've got practitioners who now teach other practitioners. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of a ripple effect of other potential clients. And, you know, I get really good recommendations from people because I've got the tech knowledge, but I've got the knowledge of their business model, and they just know from their experience that at the end of the day, not everything's going to work perfectly all the time, but at the end of the day, I'm here and I will do them right, you know. So I think it's weird. On the one side, my business is sort of scaling and getting more automated, but that's freeing up time for me to sort of be more boots on the ground available for people, versus in a few years ago, it was less automated, but that meant I was having to do a lot of the manual setup and everything. And this sort of frees me up to be much more available at a higher level for people. But to answer your question, as you know, I started this with education. So I'm sort of bringing that back to the forefront. And I have a course that we call Unblock Your Tech Chakras. And I did a little bit of as a free training last year as well, to as a list building exercise. And we have a quiz. And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of cute and fun, but it's actually brings together the line that I've been talking about, is like the tech trauma and the mindset. And seeing your business holistically, especially as a solopreneur, seeing that, yeah, there's elements to do with the different energy levels of the body that relate to your business and how you show up and what you'll get out of that part of the business. So I take them through unblocking their tech chakras, and those levels are tied to certain parts of the platform. So it's quite a high level overview of what the tool does. But there's two ways you can get it. You can either sign up for the platform and you get access to the course, or you can purchase the course and you get access to the platform for a year.
I like that.
So whichever feels more value loaded for you, because it really depends. Some people are tool first, and they feel like spending money on a tool but not on a course, and other people are the other way around. So
that's wonderful marketing, kind of like getting your target audience like around the problem before they're a perfect fit for your solution or whatever, and educating. And I love that. That's cool.
Yeah. And it helps just like bring everybody to the same place, and everybody realize, you know, get rid of that kind of icky, it's only me, like embarrassment, shame element, and saying, look, this is difficult. I've been at it for 27 years. I still have things that don't work. I still have things that go wrong. I still have things that I don't do perfectly. We're human. Here's what we can learn from it. Here's the best way to look at it. And it's turned like into a much more of a sort of mentorship, coaching, mindset type thing than I would ever have realized or imagined would be the case.
That makes sense. I mean,
yeah.
There's tactics and strategies and tools, but there's the human element, has the mind and the emotional component. One thing I want to highlight you mentioned, which I think is really cool. I've heard of this idea of where you actually have like two audiences.
Mm-hmm.
There's, and you mentioned it with your practitioners. There's like the clients that come in for help, but then there's the people who are in their industry, mostly like not as far along. Yeah. And like both groups are watching.
Yeah.
So that's really neat how for you, you're getting word of mouth growth through that kind of second, less obvious audience of other practitioners, of the practitioner you're helping. That's really, really
yeah. Cool. And I've sort of grown with them. Like I started, my default was to start with people who were, didn't, they kind of liked the idea of an online course, but they didn't know what to do next. And this was back in 2015 when online courses were a little bit less well known.
Yeah.
But those, a lot of those guys have succeeded and gone on to grow and gone on to become, you know, instructor platforms for others. So it, they sort of, their, literally, I know it's a cliche, but their success has been my success, because they've kind of brought people back to like, hey, this is, she helped me out. Or they've moved off my original platform and gone to one of the big guys and then come back and been like, what, why did I think that this was like, I think they, because I helped them in the beginning, a lot of them thought that was like, I was the kindergarten teacher.
Oh, right.
And they didn't realize that I was also teaching college classes.
Right, right.
So, excuse me. So they came back. A lot of them did that, came back around. And I was like, yeah, I can help you with all that. You know.
Very cool. So, I noticed on your pricing, there's a couple months free, which there you go again, is removing some friction, like help people like try it out. I guess what's your advice there on creating something where people can get into it and like develop the trust, and how'd you come up with that strategy? I'm not asking you a clear question, but just tell us.
I get it. I think it comes from, so my original businesses were hosting businesses. So it was very much paying by the month for me was something that was just always, there was never a switch to a subscription model for me. That's kind of what it was always there. And it was often, you know, if it's $50 a month, then $500 a year. It's just the 2 months discount for the bulk purchase. And I just think it's a nice, easy calculation, and it's something people have sort of come to expect. And I, you know, I also now tying in there's various offers that run at the moment. It's the course comes if you sign up for the year. There's other times when it'll be, we'll do a one-on-one setup. We'll do kind of wire everything up for you versus you just following the instructions. So it depends. And I've road tested a few different ways of doing it, and they all work for different audiences. So I tend to rotate them. So some people love the idea of what we have, but they're terrified of the setup. As easy as we make it, they're still, you know, on the edge of the diving board like this. So once a year, we'll often do a promotion where it's like, okay, sign up for a year, we'll do the setup for you. And that'll, you know, a certain sector of the audience will go crazy for that. But for others, it's more of waiting for, we're not doing any kind of price reduction discounts anymore. It's usually just value added services, or bundles of things. And like I said, it's the automation side of things that's now given me that much more room to spread my wings as an educator. And I sort of come back to realizing that I'm actually really good at that and I do really like it.
Awesome. So. And last question for you. You mentioned it in passing earlier, so I want to come back to it because it's valuable for really any entrepreneur. You mentioned there's sort of a thing you do on your discovery call. Some people call it a sales call, strategy call. What's the choreography of that? And I know you have a ton of wisdom here of how to sell ethically and gracefully and make it a great experience. So take us to school, Sally.
We call them tech audits. They are, it's nothing to do, it sounds like an IRS thing. It's basically people like the person I've described that has a lot of bits and pieces of their business or various iterations of their business spread out over lots of platforms. And we just sort of say, hey, come in, no shame, dump it out on the table. And we go through, and there tends to be a rhythmic cadence to the conversations, and it ends up being like this. They say, I'm using this. Can I cancel that? Yes. Do I still need this? No. And we go through, and it's not designed as sort of a monetization type of exercise, but it always ends up coming back to, so all the benefits of working with somebody, you see the stress drain from them when they realize that somebody's going to take these issues off their plate. And then they look around and they've like, oh, and this is either going to cost me the same as I'm paying now, or it's going to save me $30 a month. And I get all this. So it really takes it into that sort of, it sells itself territory. And the exercise itself gives them a really good experience of what it is to work with me, who's someone who's going to help them with the tech and make decisions for them. And, you know, I can't be anyone else other than I am. I am who I am, as Popeye said. and people, you know, a lot of people, the right people do sort of gravitate towards that. They pick up on my energy and they know that I love what I do and that I'm really interested in helping them fix these issues and streamlining it all for them. And they usually can't wait to, you know, pass that over to me. And like I said, a lot of them will just write after the call and be like, oh, you've no idea how long I've been waiting, you know, to find you, because they didn't realize how stressed all of this stuff was making them.
I love that. And that's really the ultimate goal of sales. It's connecting a problem with a solution and why not make that fun and trauma relieving experience?
Oh yeah. It's it's a little bit of a game. And I'm a problem solver. So I actually genuinely okay, what else? Do you have any of this? And I do. I have
more money to save.
And the end of the day, it's guaranteed it's either the same or it's less, because they've often got multiple tools doing different things, or they're not using. They've signed up for something, they don't even know, they're not using it. Do I still need this? So it's great. I can be whack-a-mole and just get their bills down but also relieve stress and, you know, and get them on the platform, which at the end of the day, I'm running a business. So
that's awesome. Sally, well, thanks for coming back on the show. Go check out nurture-.com. and see what Sally's done there and how she's solving platform level challenges, which is no small feat. Thank you for being a shining example of an education entrepreneur and
thanks, Chris.
Somebody who continuously improves and iterates and cares about your customer, cares about learning and technology and innovation and the planet at the same time.
Takes one to know one, just like
Well, keep up the great work and thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm really excited to do another one in 4 years and see where we're at.
Hopefully we'll both still be around and we won't have been replaced by robots.
100%. All right. Well, thank you, Sally.
Bye, Chris. Thank you.
And that's a wrap for this episode of LMS Cast. Did you enjoy that episode? Tell your friends and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. And I've got a gift for you over at lifterlms.com/gift. Go to lifterlms.com/gift. Keep learning, keep taking action, and I'll see you in the next episode.